MCHC welcomes Dr. Zach Davis to the staff of the Knott County Medical Clinic.
I'm Zach Davis. Living in Eastern Kentucky offers many challenges that affect our health and way of life. But with early detection, many of these issues can be prevented or even eliminated. And while COVID-19 numbers are currently down, COVID hasn't gone away, so get your COVID-19 vaccine or booster along with your flu shot when you schedule your preventative visit. MCHC, providing better health for a longer life.
Drill with Wes Smith. Wes Smith. Presented by MCHC.
You know the drill, sponsored by MCHC, providing better health for a longer life. And Brady, I feel like MCHC's really got the good deal of this, because we've been begging for like a bourbon sponsor, maybe, like, you know, healthcare is amazing, but like if somebody wants to throw some stuff out there that's like freebies, you don't even have to throw money. Like, yeah,
we'll show it on here and talk about it.
We'll eat it. I mean, shoot. we'll spread the wealth. Like, our guest on here today, if we had some kind of food or something, we'd send it to him too, and we'd all sit here and eat it and sponsor it for you. So
I think you're onto something.
Yeah. I don't know why that's not happening. But anyway, we are still neck deep in basketball season. It's conference play for all of the teams in NCAA and across college basketball. We've even got some NFL action going on in the playoffs now. That's finally here. Do you even want to say the name Jaden Daniels right now? My goodness.
That's a fellow Arizona State guy, man. So I have to give my shout out to him. So, which is crazy. I mean, people don't realize that Jaden Daniels was there with the old Raiders coach, Marvin Lewis.
Yeah.
Who was Cincinnati. And then Herm Edwards. Like, it's a crazy team they had out there, and they didn't really win. But it's crazy.
He's winning now.
I hate to be a Lions fan.
Absolutely. And I feel like hopes were so high this year, right? I mean, they've strung together a few good seasons in a row where it's like, and then the Commanders come to town. But while we are in conference playing basketball, you know where our heart lies. And Brady, you know, we have had amazing conversation. And one of my favorite things that we've talked about so far on these episodes is when we have some homegrown Kentucky boys, right? And we talk about KHSAA records, and we talk about Mr. Basketball, and we talk about the Sweet 16, and what Kentucky basketball has done for these guys over their career and their lifetime. And man, it's just got a special place in my heart, right? To talk to these guys that you have that connection with. And so, just last week, we had J.R. Van Hoos on here, which made our, third Kentucky Mr. Basketball that we've had on this episode. And, you know, today we're just going to keep it going with a fourth Mr. Basketball. Why not?
Bob, that's great. Keep it rolling.
Keep it rolling. So, ladies and gentlemen, I want to just take this time to introduce you to the guest we're talking to today, a guy that not only has a connection to me from Kentucky, but also through Knott County Central, and legendary coach B.B. King at Knott County Central, and just Kentucky basketball, and just a good friend of mine, Cam Justice. Cam, thank you for hopping on here with us today to talk some hoops.
Absolutely. Thanks for the invitation, man. It was kind of wondering when you were going to ask.
I love it. Keep jabbing.
But I'm happy to be here. Love to talk basketball, hoops, anything related. So excited to see what we got.
We've been waiting on you for a while. We kind of try to season this out, right, with sports. And it's like, you know, so for football, we try to get guys like Landon Young on and all this. And there's all these people in this list we've got gathered up of people we want on this show. And you look down to some of them and you're like, man, I really want this guy on right now. And then you're like, but like, it's not time yet, but you're definitely a name on that list. I've been looking forward to having and excited to have you on here and talk. I love talking to you anytime. So especially if we can get on here and talk hoops with me, you, and
Absolutely.
Brady, dude, it's a success.
Absolutely.
So Cam, what we usually like to do with myself and Brady on this podcast, we love to, the main reason you're on this show with us today is not only to talk about hoops, but to highlight you as a player, your career as a person. And so I really like to dig down at the start, right? So let's talk about Cameron Justice, young Kentucky kid. At what point in your life, Cam, did you develop this love for a game that would kind of end up shaping your life?
Man, trying to pinpoint a day, that's going to be difficult. I don't know. I think it just came over time. My dad, my mom were both in the gym. They were both coaches growing up, so it was just second nature to me. People always joke around when they're like, I tell them I grew up in a gymnasium, but I literally grew up in a gymnasium. Seeing my dad be around the game, just kind of inspired me. And then one day I was like, I think I'm pretty good at this game. I think I'm gonna try to dig a little deeper and see how far I can take it.
Well, definitely with Raymond and Beth Justice as parents, you didn't really have a choice but to be into sports to some extent. So I feel like you're
It was
right.
gonna be one sport or another.
Yeah. Oh, Raymond Justice is, as Cam was talking, great high school coach in the day, especially as Cam's growing up. And your mom Beth just recently had some really great success in the volleyball world, right?
And kind of had to step away a little unexpectedly with some health concerns and stuff like that, but she still enjoys it. She still watches those games daily. So just coaches' kids, basically.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, going into high school, obviously you found out, hey, this is something that I'm kind of good at, right? So you get in and you end up playing your high school career at Knott County Central High School with Coach B.B. King. And you're gonna make it to you're gonna reach, I feel like, a milestone that so many players, Cam, really work their whole life to do once, right? And that's make it to the Sweet 16 in the state tournament. And you did it 4 straight years at Knott County Central. Talk us through a little bit of that, what your high school career was like. When did was there a certain point in high school where you realized, hey, I'm actually not kind of good, I'm really good at this, and we could make some noise?
You go back to, you say we ran off 4 straight. I would have to say my freshman year was probably a little unexpected. Some teams got beat in the regional tournament that kind of made a window for us. I think we knew we were good. We felt talented enough to win it, but I think some things just kind of worked out in our favor, and we ended up, being able to succeed. And then after we won the first one, my freshman year, it was a feeling that it's kind of indescribable, and it was kind of what led to our motivation leading, sophomore, junior, and senior years. By the time we were junior and seniors, we kind of just had a big target on our back, and it was, we were the team to beat. Stay the course, stay motivated, and I played with a group of guys at Knott County Central that, are brothers to me to this day, and we still contact, as much as we can, and just a good group of guys that really fed off one another. And it made it easy. And then, playing for Coach King was unique in itself. You could speak on this, Wes. But he was more of a, as good of a coach as he was, it was more of a, there was such a personal relationship there with him that we were just so inspired to play.
Well, I feel like unique is definitely a good word to use. Yeah.
I could tell some stories that would probably get us all in trouble. My favorite one to tell, and I can tell this because it's not a big deal, but we're our freshman year at Rupp Arena, and he's so tore up. He's smoking cigarettes in the locker room, giving his pregame board ritual. He's smoking a Marlboro.
I love it. I love it. Brady, I don't know if you know your time that you spent in Rupp Arena. I don't know if you even realize this, but you know, Cam, obviously, you said I can attest to that with Coach King. I spent some time coaching with Coach King at Knott County Central, and I had the pleasure of playing a state tournament with him 1 year, and I never will forget rolling up to Rupp Arena. You pull in the garage and the bus, and you get out, and I remember there's a guy that meets us at the door. I'm like the first one in the door, and he gets there and he said, "Hey," he said, "we're actually going to put you all in this locker room over here." He said, "We always try to put Coach King in this one." He said, "This is the one locker room that's not going to set the sprinklers off if he smokes." Like, oh, they know that story then.
That's good. Hey, that's a good thing because that means BB had a reputation to always get the route that they knew you were gonna get, right?
Absolutely. I would like to know which locker room that is because we were basically in the same locker room every year. Now that you say
They knew which one. They knew
that.
which one.
That's funny.
Obviously.
Cam, question, was there a run that you enjoyed more than the rest? Not necessarily from a, don't think of it more as like what team you enjoyed playing for the most out of your four, but what was there a run that you had more excitement than the other?
That was probably. It was probably my senior year. It would probably have to be my senior year. We got beat one time in the state of Kentucky. Two times counting the state tournament. We lost one game in the state of Kentucky my whole senior year, in the regular season, and then obviously the one at the state tournament. But I mean, that was just a team where we were older. We kind of knew what we were doing, and it was just fun. Like, it's kind of, I don't know, it's probably bad to say this, but like, there was just like this like aura of like when we walked in the gym, I felt like it was like there was just so much excitement. It was so cool. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if Wes has told you or anything. Small town, Knott County, Kentucky. I'm talking like when we played on like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday nights, like that place was rocking. And it was a cool feeling.
That's awesome. Yeah, no, that's great. We actually just asked Aaron Harrison a couple weeks ago about which run he liked more. And that's why I was wondering if, like, I was interested to see if you thought your freshman year was because it was a little bit unexpected, because that's kind of what he was saying, like the run, but
I was about to say it would have to be that year or the senior year because but the I do get what he's saying with that is like, you know, my freshman year we weren't really expected to do it and it was like that feeling of like, man, we did it. But the senior year was pretty cool.
that's awesome.
Well, and just to give some context about that freshman year, correct me if I'm wrong, Cam, but just through memory. And I don't think a lot of people realize this. You know, I moved out to Western Kentucky and coached in Madisonville for a little while, and you almost often forget some of the players and athleticism and things that have came through Eastern Kentucky, especially during your time there. But I want to think your freshman year, was that not the year that there was a loaded Perry Central team, right? That had, you know, a couple D1 players, I think. Was Jayshon Page there at the time?
Yeah, he was at Perry Central at the time.
So Braxton Beverly, I think. So there's
Braxton
two Division One
Beverly,
players.
Buckhorn had a kid, Matt Day, who was like leading the state in scoring. Trying to think. So I would have to say this though. My junior year was probably the best that region had probably ever seen, top to bottom.
So
And
who all is
I'll argue with somebody to that to this day. Hazard had the team that was loaded with Holland, Thompson,
Oh, yeah.
Hudson was there. They were all seniors. Perry Central had Braxton, Justin Johnson.
Justin Johnson.
Who else? Cordia, that was the year Cordia had Christian Cunningham, CC, and that whole crew. Like there was five, there was probably, I think there
Oh.
was five teams. There was five teams from our region that were ranked in the top 25 in the state at one time, I think,
Wow. Wow.
which was pretty impressive
Yeah,
for that
absolutely.
area, for that area.
Yeah, for a
So.
14th region, yeah. Incredible. Well, definitely. And you know, and I feel like I have to I have to agree with you that, obviously during my playing career, Clay County never made it to a state tournament out of that 13th region. It was kind of dominated by South Laurel and some other teams at the time. But, man, going in your freshman year of high school basketball and, nobody really expecting you to get there. And then all of a sudden, here you are, in a talented region at the time, has to be a special feeling. Now, I want you to, Cam, this is one thing that I know we have a lot of listeners from the 14th region area, Eastern Kentucky. And so one of the things that people always remember about your time at Knott County Central, and I'm trying to think of what year was it you went into the state tournament with some of the, I feel like there was probably more fouls called in this game than any game I can remember. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, that was my senior year.
Your
Remember
senior
it like it
year.
was yesterday.
Yep. Not gonna forget that one.
Yeah.
Walk us through, and you don't have to get, you don't have to get like into a lot of crazy details, but walk us in, because I know you're Mr. Basketball that year, your senior year. You're the Gatorade Player of the Year, and Knott Central going into this, everybody feels like is a favorite as a contender for the state title this year. So walk us through, some emotions going into that, and kind of what that feeling was like going in as a favorite to that Sweet
Uh, that
16.
was that was a pretty cool weekend. Besides the loss, the night before, just received my Mr. Basketball trophy, and then get to play the game the next day. I can't remember if it was like the first game or a night game or whatever, against Callaway County. Good team, but we felt you might get me in trouble speaking on this matter. We felt like we were a little mistreated. They pretty substantial free throw
Yeah.
free throw count for them. I think it was a double overtime game, maybe a single overtime game or
It was
whatever.
a two overtime game, I think.
But if I remember correctly, I think we shot about 10 free throws and they shot about 30 something, mid 30s.
Yeah. Oh, I don't think there's any you getting in trouble, because I feel like that is, it doesn't matter where I go, Cam. I feel like people from other parts of the state, other remember this all too well, right? And I never will even forget the time that I got to go to Rupp Arena with Coach King. We're doing the, and Coach King with technology, right? You know how this is, and this is a COVID year, so they're doing the press conference for, the pre press conference for Sweet 16, and it's via Zoom because we're in the middle of COVID. And I never will forget Coach King showing up to my classroom in Knott County Central and telling me, "You're gonna have to get me logged on to all this shit. I don't know what to do, blah, blah, blah." And so we get him on there, and I never will forget, they're interviewing the coaches, all the coaches are on here, and Tom Leach is the one that comes in to ask Coach King about coming back to the state tournament after that loss your senior year. And I just never will forget Coach King just telling him, I don't think you want me to talk on
Yeah, that was like I said, mistreated is probably the best word to keep it PG. But I've actually never stepped foot back at a Sweet 16 since that day.
Yeah. Wow.
So
Wow. Well,
it's been
Cam,
a while.
you obviously, regardless of, that, I'm sure that loss hurts. One of the things that I'm sure you would have loved to accomplish other than being Mr. Basketball and being Gatorade Player of the Year was winning a state championship, right? That's obviously,
No
if you're a
doubt.
Kentucky kid, you want to do. But obviously, that does not end you as a player, as you will go on to sign with Vanderbilt University your freshman year, and you'll play in the SEC. What was that recruitment like a little bit? Now, we've talked to guys like Aaron Harrison on here. We talked to J.R. Van. A lot of these highly recruited players out of high school, you guys, your senior year, you're traveling, you're playing in beach ball classics, all these big tournaments across the country. Talk us through what that's like as, a young adult being like a junior, senior in high school, and coaches sending letters, calling, visiting. What is that like? And do you have any just good memories of like, I never will forget this happening?
I don't know. It just I think it's more than anything. I felt like it was just rewarding. You put all the work in by yourself in the gym when nobody else is watching, and There's three lights on in the gymnasium, and you're shooting, rebounding your own ball, and this and that. And it was kind of just rewarding. Anybody that plays any type of sport at the next level, like you have that dream of, I wanted to do this. So I actually took a different route a little bit. I ended my recruitment going into my senior year because I kind of had this philosophy or idea that, we wanted to be focused on winning a state championship, and I wanted to be done with all that because it can
Sure.
be overwhelming. It can be very overwhelming at times when they're constantly calling, and not that it's a bad thing, but it's just, you got other things to focus on, and you're a 17-year-old kid, and you kind of, I don't know. It's just, there's cool experiences. Mine was a little, I kind of had Eastern Kentucky in a whirlwind there for a while because I committed to the University of Tennessee. And you're talking about humbling, committing to the University of Tennessee and walking into school the next day and people being like, "What is wrong with you?" Like, they wear that Kentucky blue with pride. It's like, guys, they're paying for my education and for me to play basketball like the next level. It's okay. Like, you guys will be okay. But that was actually under Coach Martin, and Coach Martin ended up leaving and taking the California job, and they brought in Donnie Tindall, and I actually reopened my recruitment.
What was it,
And
Cam,
that's
that what was the Tennessee factor with Coach Martin that kind of led you to lean that way early on?
he there was a lot of in various ways, but like the way he communicated with me, the way he came up, like he came to Eastern Kentucky probably multiple times, more than anybody else. And there was actually another guy on that staff at the time whose name was Kent Williams, who started the initial recruitment. But they had us down, like coming to elite camps, when I was getting recruited. So like you play summer ball in high school, like we were going down to Tennessee, playing in elite camps. They were coming up to Eastern Kentucky all the time. We were eating lunch in Hazard. And just, I just had a really good connection with him on a personal level. And I felt like it was somebody I could trust. You hear horror stories all the time of, recruitments. You sign to play with this guy and you get there and it's a completely different version of this guy. So I just felt like he was somebody I could trust. And then, had to reopen that recruitment up with what transpired, and then ended up at Vanderbilt. Kind of had this idea that I wanted to play in the SEC just because, growing up in Eastern Kentucky, that's what you grew up watching. It was the
It's the
biggest stage.
SEC,
It
right?
was the biggest stage. So I knew I wanted to stay at that level.
Well, that's and Brady, I want to bring you into this because I feel like during this time you would have been on staff at the University of Kentucky.
I think I was a manager, I think, at the time.
So you were a manager at UK at the time, and Cam can attest to this. And he already said it a little bit in Eastern Kentucky, when he committed to UT, there was a stage in Eastern Kentucky, man, of why are all of these Kentucky Mr. Basketballs not going to Kentucky, right? You've got Cam Justice that's committed to UT, you've got Elijah Justice that commits to Louisville, and man, it's an uproar, right? Right, Cam? Am I
Oh
right? People in
yeah,
Eastern Kentucky are
you would have
talking.
thought I stabbed him in the back.
It's crazy though, back in the day too. I mean, you forget the I would say in my time remembering it as a high school player in Kentucky as well, like the first that really happened in my remembrance was when Chris Lofton committed to play at Tennessee, and it was like and then I grew up, obviously Preston Knowles was like a couple years younger or older than me, so I saw Preston Knowles then commit to Louisville, and then Darius was right below him, and so like that it does. I mean, Chris Lofton, I mean, that shook the whole state.
Yeah, it was Chris, Scotty. Wasn't there one more? Scotty Hobson is who I'm
Scotty
talking about.
Hobson, Chris
Yeah.
Lofton.
The one more I'm thinking about might have been me.
Hey, I mean, are you talking about going to Tennessee?
Yeah, there was I thought there was one more
There
that
was one more. There was. I
yeah.
remember. Yeah, I think I'm drawing a blank on the name.
But yeah, so I don't know. I just and it was like in my eyes, that was the reason I kind of chose Vanderbilt at the same time, is like there was some Kentucky kids that had a great status of going to Vanderbilt and having success in the SEC. So I was like, it's another opportunity. But yeah, I mean, it was just I sat on the big prize and went and tried to succeed and kind of had some issues with some injuries, but it was still awesome. Good times. We actually beat Kentucky at Vanderbilt my freshman year.
Yeah. Well,
Was
and Cam, just before we started the show, we were talking a little bit about your time there with Kevin Stalling in Knox or Nashville and at Vandy. And even though things didn't work out as you maybe would have thought, with some injuries and other things, you had just mentioned, your knowledge of the game of basketball growing. I'm sure you're still thankful for that time, but what is that transition like, Cam, going from obviously playing against elite talent in high school, but then it's another step when you go play in the SEC, right? What's that adjustment like of playing against that talent and also practice and workouts, right? It has to get harder.
Yeah, I mean it was a daily adventure. I mean, it was exactly what I signed up for. I had the opportunity to play on the Nike circuit growing up in high school, which gave me like a it was an eye-opening experience as far as like, how talented everybody really is. And then you get to the SEC and you're talking about some physical specimens. But the thing you find out real quick is, you show up to a college campus and like everybody that's on your team is there for the same reason you were.
Yes.
So you have to find your little niches and tendencies that can help you, be on the court. And my ability was to shoot the basketball, and I felt like Vanderbilt playing for Coach Stallings gave me that opportunity with his ability to draw up X's and O's.
Was there like a coming welcome to the Division One world moment for you that you remember where you're
Oh,
like
man.
everyone seems to have maybe one, like usually it happens at some point where you're maybe in a game and you're like, oh crap, like this is like
So I
this is.
tell people there's many humbling experiences when you're practicing at that level.
Yeah.
As far as just anytime you look up at the rim and you're under there at 6'2", like somebody's coming over top of you very soon, and that happened more than once. But my kind of welcome to the big moment was we were in Maui, playing Kansas in the Maui Championship as a freshman, and we're in a timeout with like 1:20 left. We had kind of led the whole game, and they came back and took the lead. I think they were up three with maybe like 1.5 minutes left. Ball gets tipped out of bounds, whatever. I'm in the game, and we come to the timeout, and Coach Stallings draws up this play that we called crosses, and we always ran like a two guard front offense. And he draws this play up and this and that, blah, blah, blah. And like next thing you know, I like snap back in and I hear him say, like, and Cam, you'll be coming off the stagger and taking the shot. And I remember like looking like to my left and my right, and I got like guy that's probably gonna be a number one like a first round pick in the draft. And like just a bunch of talented guys beside me, and I'm like, oh shit, he called my number.
You're talking
Yeah.
am I the only Cam? Like
Yeah,
what?
I was like walking out of the timeout, and I was like, "Holy shit! He just called my number." So, it was a cool experience.
What's that like playing in the Maui tournament, Cam? One of the a lot of our listeners are Big Blue Nation, right? Kentucky fans, and one of the things I feel like that has been constant pressure since the departure of John Calipari and the hiring of Mark Pope is when are we going to go back to the Maui? When are we going to go here? What's that like playing there? And, obviously Mark Pope has said things that, it presents its own set of challenges, right? You've got NIL money now and obviously a great team bonding moment, but as we saw with UConn, you can also get down there to Maui and start the season off rough.
Absolutely.
So
Absolutely.
what's that experience like?
Well, I mean, the MTEs, all your midseason MTEs are to develop your ability to play postseason tournaments. I mean, that's what they're for. You do it at even grade school levels, they have mid-season tournaments, and that's basically what it's for, is to see how you can bounce back playing day to day to day. And more than anything, it's more mental focus. But playing in Maui was an unbelievable experience. I remember actually in the recruitment process, they had mentioned that we were going to Maui my freshman year, and I was like, hell yeah, I'm definitely going to Vanderbilt then. Because I mean, the Maui Invitational Tournament is like a, I mean, if you're a basketball fan, like Thanksgiving Day, you're watching the Maui Championship. I
For
mean,
sure.
it's, you grow up watching it. So I mean, to me, that was like, hell yeah, like this is my big stage moment. But I mean, if you've never been to Maui, I suggest that you go. But it's a pretty, we're here in the States, obviously on the mainland, you're playing in these big gymnasiums with like 18,000 people screaming at the top of their lungs. And then you go to Maui and you're playing in a gym with like barely any AC. It's like, I think that it's like 3,500 people. The best part of Maui is the locker rooms.
I've
The
heard
locker
that.
rooms. Yeah. So the locker rooms, you like go up the stairs. And I'm talking like this stairwell, like you're like squeezing, like you got the big 7 footers and stuff. Like I didn't have any issue, but they're like ducked down. Shoulders are touching like both sides. And then you get up and they have a curtain in between you and the other team.
Wow.
Just a curtain. So I mean, you're hearing everything that's like being said. So like before the games and everything, you're not really like saying too much. Like everything is basically done at the hotel before you head there, and then you kind of just like revamp some stuff. But like like coming up at halftime, obviously the team that's getting beat is probably getting chewed out. Somebody's getting chewed out. I mean, you just hear every word that's going on, and it's kind of comical.
That's interesting. I didn't know it was a curtain.
I didn't
Yeah, it's
realize
like a
that.
curtain, and they do have like a fence up in case anything is to happen, but it's basically like a curtain just drop down. I don't know if it's changed since then. That was 10 years ago,
Now,
so.
what I will say though is Vanderbilt, your all's home court advantage presents its own troubles for opposing teams. That locker room you guys give us was horrible. 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 I mean, it was like tiny, the bathroom, a one stall thing. Dude, it was horrible.
It's they did some renovations to that place though, so they're moving up.
Was that an adjustment being at Vandy? You know, obviously you talked about the locker room, but it's also a different experience with your benches being on the baseline, right? Is that
In the beginning, it was kind of unique, but I mean, we practiced it. I mean, there was a lot of times during practice, like where coach would just he would stand down there, and it just kind of became second nature. But in the beginning, when you like first get there, it's like, man, this is strange. But you kind of just get used to it.
Yeah. Well, obviously, Cam, you know, you're gonna spend your freshman season there, a little bit of your sophomore season in Nashville, and then you will end up at IUPUI, where you will play with actually your former high school teammate, Evan Hall. Tell us a little bit about that. And, you know, Brady mentioned earlier, you know, you're gonna end your career at WKU, and Brady brought up this point earlier of, was there any difference in, I guess, standards of recruitment for you from start to finish? You know, obviously, you know, you had this recruitment coming out of high school, but then you make that change in the portal to IUPUI and then to WKU. Did your standards of recruitment change? Were there new things that you were looking at that you didn't look at before?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think, just in general, as you get older, you get wiser. Past experiences kind of mold you into who you are and what you do. But it was one of those situations where, I came to Vanderbilt to play under Coach Stallings. He left. Coach Drew came in. Nothing against Coach Drew, but I was a name on a piece of paper to him. He probably had no idea who I was before he
Right.
took the job. I was coming off surgery. I wasn't even cleared to go 100%, like 100% yet. So like the whole summer, I was not allowed to compete. Like I was basically just doing like one-on-ones with a coach or a manager or whatever, just trying to get back in shape, get back released. And then I finally got cleared, I think a week after we started official practice, and it was just kind of hard to get going. I kind of felt like I was, mentally, I was kind of in a dark space. It was the first time I'd ever kind of battled any kind of like significant injury, outside of like, there's difference between being hurt and actually being injured. I was actually like significantly injured, so I was trying to battle back from that mentally, physically. And I kind of knew I wanted, I kind of just got in this space where I was like, I need a new, I need something new to look at. And it wasn't going to be, like I say, no, nothing against him, but it just wasn't going to be for a guy that didn't really know who I was. So I kind of wanted to pick and choose who I was going to play for from then on out. Decided I was going to leave in December after that first semester, and a unique opportunity kind of presented itself when Evan, who's still, one of my best friends, texted me, and he was like, "Hey, why don't you come up here?" And it was at the time, it was kind of like, "I don't know, we'll think about it. This and that, does he even want me?" Or blah blah blah. And I think it was, I don't know if he put in a text message or a call, but as I think the day I got my release letter, Coach Gardner called me, and he was like, "Hey, let's get this done." And I got recruited. Obviously, there was other schools and stuff like that. But I had the opportunity to play college basketball with a dude who was like one of my best friends. And then I knew we had a chemistry together on the court, and I was like, maybe this could work out. And it did. It was a good time when I was at IUPUI.
Y'all had a great run together. I just, that's so fascinating to me. And Brady, I don't know if you have heard of any similar stories, but two guys who are high school teammates, like a big duo in high school, right? That go play at a very high level together again and reunite after being away for a few years, right? So that has to be just an amazing feeling.
And it was, we just kind of felt like we picked up right where we left off that last game in high school. It was, like I said, when we had that chemistry together, it was kind of indescribable.
Yeah.
So it worked out for us.
It reminds me of this is completely off topic, but it reminds me of the Aaron Rodgers, Davante Adams. Like they just like Davante showed up and they were just
He was already calling his little nuances to him to
Yeah.
pick up. It was a cool experience.
I'll throw it out there that I have no doubt, just because I've already heard this before too, that Cam could have probably been an amazing quarterback as well in high school. I know he's got some golf games, so I'm sure the quarterback game is probably not far behind him.
Maybe. I don't know. I kind of let football go at an early age. I think last time I played was in like 7th grade, but well, I'll give you some strokes on the golf course, and we can go play.
Yeah, I already know that. Brady,
Where did
that
we
would be
play
Brady's
last?
challenge.
Blue, where did we play that up in Eastern Kentucky?
Stonecrest.
That's where we played, yeah.
Took you to Stonecrest. Good golf course.
We took him to Stonecrest, me and I think it was a me and Winston Lee and Casey Huff trip along with Brady
It's a good group of
down to
guys. Good
Stonecrest.
group of guys.
Yeah, it was not a lot of great golf being played, but good
That's
times.
okay. It's okay.
I tried to get him over to Raven Rock, but Stonecrest was the only option that day, so
I got you. Couldn't gone wrong with either one of them.
no.
Were you a fan of the mountain golf on top of the mountain?
It was scary, intimidating. Like
Yeah,
the
it
ball
can
could have
be.
went anywhere. You're kind of there was one hole at the top that was like you could see everything, which was pretty neat. But the thing I didn't like was like everything, like the rough, like the weeds. So like I lost probably like
Yeah,
at
you're not
least
supposed to hit the
50.
ball over there.
I'm not supposed to.
Yeah.
It was cool though. It was awesome.
The
Yeah, Brady and myself are used to the University Club up here in Lexington, where like we can shake one and
flat
still go
grounds.
pick our ball up over there.
The flat grounds.
Oh. So Cam, obviously great time being together with Evan Hall again at IUPUI, and then you'll eventually make your way to Western Kentucky University, where you really, man, I feel like it was almost like a homecoming, even though Western Kentucky could be its own country, right, compared to Eastern Kentucky. But
Absolutely.
I feel like the people of Eastern Kentucky, the people of Kentucky, were so glad to see you back in state. It's like you almost had a revival of a following. I can even remember tuning in to so many WKU games myself that I hadn't seen before when you were away at IUPUI. But I want to talk a little bit about one of the big things that me and Brady talk about with guests all the time on this show, because it's a major talking point in college sports at the moment, is the transfer portal. Obviously you're someone who is semi got to experience this firsthand. you hear a lot of positives about the transfer portal, a lot of negatives about the transfer portal. You being a player who has kind of experienced that moving from one school to another, how do you see that from your eyes for the game of college basketball?
I mean, I think there's pros and cons to it. I think it has maybe got out of hand a little bit. I did transfer twice. My second time, though, it was a graduate transfer. It wasn't like I just up and transferred. I did graduate school. I had the ability to transfer. Took that opportunity. You know, I try to stay away from it, all this conversations with it, this and that, because you're always going to make somebody upset or, you know, there's so many different ways to look at it. Do I think it's good that the kids are having the ability to get paid to play a sport? Yes. Do I think it maybe needs to be regulated to some extent? Maybe that's something they're figuring out over time. The transfer portal, though, on the other thing, is another question in itself. So what the new rule now is they're allowed to transfer as many times as they want, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that to me just, I mean, I don't know. If you look at it in the essence of like, now I'm a little bit older, you know, when I was 18, I maybe had a different thought, but you know, you go somewhere, life can be tough. You put it in perspective. If you go somewhere and I don't like it after this year, boom, I transfer. If I go somewhere else, I don't like it after that year, boom, I transfer. All you're trying to do is just find a comfort zone. Sometimes I feel like they need to be, you need to have, or you need to be challenged in some essence of, you know, maybe this wasn't the best thing, but I got to do what I got to do to figure it out.
Hard to grow and when giving you're comfortable.
Yeah. And I'm not saying they shouldn't be able to transfer. You should always be able to transfer. But the fact that they have the ability to transfer after every single year is kind of ridiculous, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Well, and I think there needs to be, I think you hit the nail on the head. There needs to be some kind of like, right? Like when this portal thing rules changed, NIL also was put into play at the same time. So now I would say majority of the time people aren't really transferring because of a issue.
It's for money. Like,
there's like, oh, I've got,
there's no question about it. It's, I think of a school like Western Kentucky, like, you know, if you're a mid-major school and you go out and find this kid that nobody was recruiting and he comes here and he's a freshman or a junior college transfer and he averages 15 points a game on 18 to 20 minutes, good luck keeping him.
Yeah.
Right.
Good luck. Like your Kentuckys, your Louisville's, your all your high major like P5 schools can come in and offer this kid $100,000 to sit on the bench. Where you got a school like Western Kentucky who's, you know, struggling to probably pay their ace $100,000.
Yep.
And these kids, like these days, like they're not even looking at, like, it's not even about playing anymore.
Right. Yeah.
It's just about how much money I can make.
I mean, and I don't blame them at all. I don't blame them from that standpoint.
You can't knock them for it.
Because it's life changing money. Like, it's, if you can pocket $500,000 for a year to, like, that is money you can store. And, like, dude, there's people that never make $500,000 at
what I would do to be
people make $500,000 a year. And so
let me be 18 years old again.
No,
that's what I'm sitting there. That's what I'm thinking, right? Like, you said you can't knock it. And I'm just sitting here thinking, you know, you, Cam Justice, you know, you, I'm sure you absolutely unbelievably cherished your time at WKU.
Absolutely.
But if you've got another school that's saying, Cam, you know, we've got $500,000 for you, I'm not sure that Western Kentucky would have been in your future, right?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, you can't knock it until they figure out a way to regulate it, if regulate is the right word again. I'm not mad at them because I would do the same thing.
Well, how do you feel, Cam? You know, we're sitting here watching. You obviously got to play in the SEC. You brought that up earlier, being a kid from Kentucky. You know, you want to play in the SEC. That's the stage, right? That's your biggest stage. And, man, we're looking at college basketball here today, and the SEC is just freaking unbelievable, right? I mean, you've got your Auburn, Tennessee, Florida, Kentucky, Texas A&M, Georgia, all these ranked teams. What, I mean, how about the SEC right now, man? What would you give to play in that today?
It's remarkable right now, to be honest. I mean, you're watching these teams. Me and a couple of my buddies were talking the other day. You know, to be a one seed in the SEC this year, you might lose five games. You might lose five games. So, man, I don't know. What's Kentucky sitting at 3-2?
3-2 through the first five. Yep.
And Auburn's leading it, what, 3-1? 4-1.
4-1.
I mean, that's pretty impressive. I mean, you might have a stretch in the SEC where you go Auburn out on a Tuesday, Alabama on a Saturday, let's say Knoxville on a Wednesday,
All powerhouse
Kentucky.
teams.
I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, and even you look down the list, you look at South Carolina. I mean, that's an unbelievable team as well. Vanderbilt just beat Tennessee last night by one. I mean, if you better win your home games in the SEC this year.
Yes.
Yes.
You better win the home games.
Yep. That's
Done.
what I was saying. Like, it's unique too. Like, there is no gimme games. Like, in the
Really?
past, I mean, in the past, yes, historically, yes, see, the coaches have just gotten so good. Like, it's
I
just
agree.
the coaching
And
level is amazing.
at the same time, like we say that, it was in a that as crazy as it sounds, that was a Kentucky effect.
Yeah,
It was
everyone
a Kentucky
caught up to.
effect. Everybody was trying to catch up to him,
Yep.
and they did a really good job at it.
Yeah. And well, what's unique this year, you look at, I would say, and you look at the bottom half of the SEC right now. I think it's like South Carolina, Arkansas, Vandy. Those are three heck of a great road environment that you got to go in and play,
Absolutely.
regardless of how good they are. South Carolina, I mean, that's why I want Mitch to hear where your favorite place to play was. But like South Carolina, when that place is good, like the environment's good, it's a
Yeah.
top of the league. Like, it's elite.
Yeah.
Then Vandy poses its own challenges. It's just a weird, finicky environment where it's almost sometimes eerily quiet, but it also can be loud. But it's also the whole end
Yeah.
zone coaching things poses its own issues. And then Arkansas, when it's packed, it's atop of the loudest.
Yeah, that was a unique place.
Where was your favorite place to play, like in all of your high school and or us let's say all of your college career, any road environment that you just like was the coolest experience for you?
I'm gonna say it was a Big Ten SEC challenge game, and I didn't looking back on this, I didn't even play the game, so it's just kind of a weird statement. But we went to Purdue and played, and I think and that place was absolutely electric.
I've heard this. No, I actually just got back from Columbus. I watched Ohio State play, and I was asking Joel, who's the assistant there. I said, they have Purdue coming up. And I was like, what's the hardest place to play in the league? And then he was saying that he has heard, this is his first go around the Big Ten, but he heard Purdue.
Yeah, it was wild. They did this thing pregame. They're the Boilermakers, right? So like they do this thing pregame where like the visiting team comes out and you warm up on the side. Yeah, you warm up on the side where the tunnel is, and everybody comes out of the same tunnel. And like we literally just got on the floor and it went pitch black. And all of a sudden you hear this big like train thing and this big spotlight, like I'm talking like it's probably like a 4x4 spotlight, just like shines out of the tunnel, and it's like it starts making this like train sound, and like they start blowing fog, and I was like what? And it was rocking, and it was like that the whole game. But it was a they had that place jumping.
And it gives me chills. Like, if you can't get up for an environment like that to
Oh
come out and play,
yeah.
like, my goodness.
I remember sitting there thinking, like, damn, I know I'm not even playing this game, but this is.
Oh, wow. Man, yeah, it's crazy some of the, and I feel like it's only getting better with like technology
Oh,
and other
absolutely.
things
Yeah.
going on. Like, you've got schools now that like our good friend Preston Spradlin at James Madison University, like the environment there even looks crazy. Like you've got even some of these mid-major and low major schools that you're seeing some of these, pre-game traditions and things, and you're like, my gosh.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool experience. If you have the ability to play at a place that has great tradition and wants to be good and wants to put time into like being a great place to play. Like I won't even knock like Western Kentucky. That was a big reason I decided I wanted to come here. I was like, I wanted to play in front of a crowd that knew what they were doing. And I had the ability to come back and play closer to home, to give my parents the ability to watch me a little bit more as I got older. And no, it was a big reason why I came here. If you haven't been to a game in Diddle, you should.
Diddle can rock, man.
Yeah. We had a couple games here during my time. We'd beat Arkansas in overtime. And then that was my graduate senior year. And then my second go around after I got the medical red shirt hardship, we beat Louisville here after the tornadoes, which was a wild environment. I remember that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So what was that, I feel like that's almost kind of a bittersweet moment for you as well, right? Growing up in Eastern Kentucky, you've been to Vandy, you played in the SEC. So it's not like your first experience, but then you go to IUPUI, WKU, and then that graduate senior year at WKU, you travel to Rupp Arena and play for that game. I know you had a fan base there. It's kind of a bittersweet moment to be back, a little bit closer to home.
It was definitely fun to show up to a game and knowing there's probably that I said there was probably close to 50 people there that I was close with that I knew was going to be there, which is always a good feeling.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, Cam, I've got to ask, you're a basketball junkie. I know you. Even though you're not playing in the game at the moment, you're a basketball junkie. So is there any team you just mentioned that, the rest of the day you were going to watch some basketball and football here today. Is there any team in college basketball across the board that you find yourself, if they're playing on TV, man, I really want to watch that squad. Is there a team that catches your eye right now?
There's probably a few. It's hard to pinpoint. I still have a guy I play with, Davion McKnight, that's playing at Xavier now. I tend to watch quite a bit of his games still. And they actually just won him a big game yesterday against Marquette. Tried to slip up and let it go. I don't know if anybody else watched it, but they were ahead about 15 the entire game, and I think ended up winning the game by two.
Oh, wow.
At Marquette, so it was a big win for him, big staple win. Quad one win, obviously, so it's big for tournament time.
I did see the score.
I'm a big fan. I'm a rejuvenated. Don't put this in the episode. I'm a rejuvenated Cats fan.
Okay. I was hoping
Rejuvenated
to get
Cats
that out
fan.
of you a little bit.
I'm a fan of the way they're playing. I do think they got some holes that they need to figure out. But I do like the offenses that he's running, spread free. He's got five guys on the floor that can really make plays. When you have a five man that can do what Williams is doing, it's pretty impressive. Honestly, it just frees up so much more for your guards. Big fan of Florida basketball right now. I really like Clayton Jr. and them guards down there. Tennessee, I love watching Tennessee play. You're talking about a team that go into the foxhole with. I know they're struggling a little bit right now, but I think once Lanier gets going again, I think he's in a little slump right now. Once he gets going, I think that'll be a hard team to beat. But here I'm just rattling them off. Again, you said it. I'm a big basketball junkie. I'm going to watch good basketball. If there's basketball on, I'm probably going to watch it. My wife asks me all the time. She's like, "Why are you watching this game?" I'm watching like two lower level like mid-major games on ESPN Plus with no commercials, and it's like been on the ESPN Plus thing dinging for like 5 minutes, and she's like, "What is this?" I'm like, "Oh, it's halftime." It's playing the campus commercial over and over and over.
Well, I've got to say, man, you said earlier with NIL, you wish you could go back to 18-year-old you. I wish you could too, because I'm telling you what, right now, I feel like if there's a system that you could fit into with your skill set and ability, man, I could see you wearing blue right now.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know.
Oh, well, man, Cam, again, I got to thank you for hopping on here with us. I know, obviously, amazing basketball career. I thoroughly enjoyed watching you progress through it up until where you are today, and now enjoying the dad life.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is a different animal.
I
Nothing
can
will
only
prepare you for
imagine.
that. Nothing will prepare you for that. And I got number two on the way. So.
Congrats.
Yeah, congratulations, man. I know nothing can prepare you for it, but I'm sure you wouldn't trade it for anything as well. And if I know
Oh, not at
anything
all.
about Raymond and Beth, I'm sure that there's a little bit of spoiledness going on there as well.
Yeah, between both grandparents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
Me too.
Cam, again, man, thank you for hopping on with us. You know the drill, sponsored by MCHC, providing better health for a longer life.
You know the drill with Wes Smith. Wes Smith. Wes Smith. Presented by MCHC.